In verse 3 of Matthew chapter 18, the Lord says to His disciples, "Except you be converted. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." I've entitled this message, "What is conversion?" What is conversion? Abraham was an idolater in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and God made Himself known to him, and he left that place, going out into a land of which he didn't know where he was going, in obedience to God. And he became the father of the faithful. He was converted. He was turned. Mary Magdalene was possessed with 7 demons, and she was converted. She was turned. And she became a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Lord appeared unto her first. And I believe it's because she was the one who loved Him the most. She was converted. She was turned. Zacchaeus was a dishonest publican, a man who ripped other people off. That's how he made his living. And he was converted. He was turned to where he said, "Lord," and he was only speaking to the Lord. He wasn't saying this to impress anyone. He said, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold." He was converted. He was turned. Peter was in an awful state of pride. He said, regarding all the other disciples, "They may forsake you, but I'll never do it." And the Lord said unto him, "Peter, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted," when thou art converted, "strengthen thy brethren." Paul was on the road to Damascus as Saul of Tarsus, and his intention was to kill anyone who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was intercepted with a blinding light. And he was converted. He was turned. And he became Paul the Apostle. Nicodemus came to Christ by night, ashamed to be identified in any way with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came in such darkness. A couple of years later, after our Lord has died, he goes and the Scripture says he boldly craves the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, publicly confessing Him. Nicodemus was converted. He was turned. The Ethiopian eunuch, returning from Jerusalem, empty and ignorant, the Lord sends him a preacher. And he believes the gospel. And he goes on his way rejoicing, believing. He was converted. He was turned. The Philippian jailer, a hard, harsh man working in a prison. Something happens. And he's made to fall in trembling before Paul and Silas and saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
He was converted.
He was turned. The disciples are having an argument. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And there they are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Infinitely the great one in the kingdom of heaven. And they're arguing really over which one of them will be the greatest. And the Lord says, except you be converted and turned from this ridiculous way of thinking, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Conversion. What is conversion? Conversion is not regeneration. Now let me repeat that. Conversion is not regeneration. I've heard people talk about their quote salvation experience, and they say, when I was converted, this took place and that took place. Conversion is not regeneration. Regeneration is when God births you into the kingdom of heaven. It's when He gives life, when He gives a new heart that was not there before. Conversion is not regeneration. But conversion is the motion of regeneration. Conversion is the movement of regeneration. When I am converted, I'm turned. I was going in one direction and I'm turned to go in another direction. And conversion is not a one-time act. We are continually in the process of conversion, aren't we? We're continually in the process of being turned. We're continually in the process of turning. And how often we need to turn. How often we need to be turned. Now, what is the evidence that God has turned us? We turn. We turn. Turn with me for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 31. I love this verse of Scripture. This tells us that conversion is essentially and primarily God's work. Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn now me, and I shall be turned. Well, there's a prayer. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Turn now me, and I will be turned. Now we can have three responses to that. Turn thou me. Here's the first response. I can turn myself. I don't believe that. I don't need to be turned. I've got a free will. I can, of my own will, turn around whenever I will to do that. That's the response of unbelief. That's all that is. The response of unbelief. And then there is the spot response of fatalism. When we hear this scripture, turn thou me and I will be turned. Fatalism says I can't turn unless He turns me. Therefore, I won't worry about it. I will wait for Him to turn me. Fatalism, in reality, it's a half of truth that ends up being a whole lie. And it is a denial of my responsibility. And in reality, it's an excuse for me to remain in my sin. That's it. And then the third response to this, the first response is that of unbelief. I don't believe that. I can turn myself. The second response is that of fatalism.
I'll just wait. I don't need to worry about it. I'm just going to go on. When he turns me, I'll be turned, and I'm not going to worry about it until then. I'll just go on in my sin. And the third response is, Lord, turn me. Lord, turn me, and I will be turned. Turn me to you. Turn me to your Son. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Turn me away from this sin that I will commit unless you turn me. Turn again our captivity. Turn us again. Turn me, Lord. Now here is a prayer that I ought to be praying a whole lot of times a day, isn't it? Turn me. Turn me. And it's a scriptural prayer. Somebody says, well, that's just an excuse to not turn yourself. Well, whatever it is, Jeremiah said it. Turn me. Turn me. As a matter of fact, this is throughout the scriptures. This thing of us asking the Lord to turn us. You reckon if I ask Him to turn me, He'll turn me? Of course He will. If I ask Him to turn me, He'll turn me. Ask and you shall receive. And like I said, this thing is not a one-time thing. We need to be turned all the time. We need Him to turn Himself to us. And we need Him to turn us. And we need to turn. Look in Psalm 60. I want to look at several scriptures. Psalm 60. The psalmist says in verse 1, O God, Thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O, turn Thyself to us again. Now here's where I need to begin. Lord, turn Yourself to me. Look in Psalm 80. Verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I was turned once, but I've gone backwards. I've gone astray. Turn me again. Look in verse 7 of the same psalm. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Look in verse 18. So will not we go back from Thee. Quicken us, and we'll call upon Thy name. Did you hear that? Quicken us, and we'll call upon Thy name. Give me life to call upon Your name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. From Psalm 85, verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Psalm 86, verse 16. Oh, turn unto me. You know, I'm not going to turn to you unless you turn to me. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give Thy strength unto Thy servant and save the son of Thy handmaid. Now, here are three things that I need, and that I need desperately. I need Him to turn to me. And I need Him to turn me. I need Him to turn to me, and I need Him to turn me, and I need to turn. I need to turn. That's what conversion means. It means to turn. Now, when He turns us, we turn. Turn me, Jeremiah said, and I'll be turned. The evidence of Him turning us is that we ourselves turn. We ourselves convert. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Here is how God blessed the gospel we preached when we came into your presence. It's seen in that how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Now here's how the success of our preaching is seen. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now notice the order. He doesn't say you turn from your idols to God, does he? He doesn't say, well, you saw the ridiculousness of your idols and when you saw that, then you turned to God. No, you turned to God and then you saw the idols for what they were. You wouldn't see it was idolatry until you turned to God. But when you turned to God, you see that all your former religion was idolatry and nothing more. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen that your religion was idolatry and nothing more than that? Now, if you've ever turned to God, you see that. And if you don't see it, it's because you have never in reality turned to God. Because if you turn to God, you will see the idolatry of your formal religion. Now, when he turns us, we turn. And we turn, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And when you turn, understand this. When you turn, we turn with our whole heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10, we're commanded to turn to the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul. I don't know of anything more disgusting than half-hearted religion. Now, I want you to think about that. It's what the Lord called lukewarmness. He said, because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. When I'm half-hearted in my religion, I say, this is not all to me. Now, I've said this before so many times, but let me say it again. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if true, it's of infinite importance. If false, it's of no importance. But the one thing it cannot be is moderately important. Something you're half-hearted about. Worship, my dear friends, is not to be squeezed into life's busy schedule. God doesn't want our spare time. Life is centered around worship. If I turn, I turn with my whole heart and my whole soul, or I do not turn at all. Now, there are two wheels this turning turns on. And I want you to listen to me real carefully, because this thing of turning, it can almost seem kind of nebulous and vague. What do you do when you turn? What's involved in turning? What does it mean to turn? Well, first of all, God's got to turn you. We realize that. And secondly, you've got to turn. If God turns you, you will turn. But there are two wheels that we turn on. The wheels of repentance and faith. Now, I'm going to show you that from the Scripture. But there are two wheels we turn on when we turn. There are two wheels we turn on. We turn to someone. We turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we turn from something. We turn from the world. And in turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two wheels we turn on. Faith and repentance. Now, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 11? Acts chapter 11. Verse 19.
Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. When there's a turning to the Lord, it happens because there is a believing. A believing the gospel. A believing the report of the gospel. Believing the truth. You know, when you believe the truth, when I believe the truth, you know what we're doing? We're turning. The act of faith is the act of turning. You believe the gospel. Now, what is the report? Turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is it I'm to believe? I hear believe. Believe what? Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, the same gospel I've always preached, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, this is what's of primary importance, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now here's the delivery of the message. Christ, the Son of God, died. Why did He die? For our sins. My sins became His. And He died. He died under the wrath of God. He died as the sin-bearing substitute. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Just like that high priest laid his hands on that scapegoat, and that scapegoat was driven into the wilderness, signifying the putting away of sin, the slaying of the lamb, the putting away of sin. It's how that He died according to the Old Testament Scriptures. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, the Bible says, if I confess with thy mouth, my mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart, that God raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved. That's what the Word of God says. If I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Now, that is not simply referring to the fact of the resurrection. I imagine if you talk to most folks in Lexington, Kentucky, they'd say they believe that Jesus Christ's body was raised from the dead. They believe that. It's not only believing in the fact of His resurrection. It's knowing why He was raised. Knowing the results of His resurrection. And relying on His resurrection. I know why He was raised. He was raised because He offered infinite satisfaction to God. God was pleased with what He did. God was satisfied with what He did. He put away sins. God raised Him from the dead because He said, I can ask no more. I'm satisfied. He was raised from the dead. And when He was raised from the dead, He was raised for our justification. When He was raised from the dead, all of God's elect were justified. They were not guilty because of what He did. Do you believe that? Now come on, you can answer that. You believe that? Then you're saved. Is it really that simple? Yes. It is that simple. We believe the gospel. Now, if I believe the gospel, I will turn to the Lord Himself. And another way of saying the same thing is I'll come to Christ. Believing the gospel is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. What is it to believe of the gospel? It's to come to Christ. What is it to come to Christ? It's to believe the gospel. Now, coming is a move. It's a move, isn't it? If you come somewhere, you leave a place, and you come somewhere else. It's out of self, into Christ. It's out of works, into resting completely in Him. If you believe on Christ, you've turned to the Lord. Believing is turning. Only in turning to the Lord will the veil be taken away. Now, this first will is faith, and the second will is repentance. Now, do you remember what Jeremiah said in that passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 18? He said, "When I was turned, I repented. Turn me, and I'll be turned." When I was turned. When I was turned, I repented. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter is preaching. And he says in verse 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified His Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Now remember who Peter is speaking to at this time. He's talking to the people who were calling for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to the people who said, "Let Him be crucified." He's talking to the people of which it said Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He's talking to the soldiers who actually drove the nails in His hands and in His feet. He's talking to the murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 14, "But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we're witnesses, and His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, our sins will not be blotted out apart from us repenting and being converted. Now, there are a lot of things. Well, the gospel is one, but there are a lot of things involved in the saving of a sinner. First, God's got to elect that sinner. He's got to choose that sinner. That sinner won't choose Him. That's absolutely necessary. And Christ has got to represent that sinner and work out a perfect righteousness for him and die for that sinner and be raised for that sinner. And God the Holy Spirit's got to give that sinner new birth, new life. And that sinner must believe. Now, God causes him to believe, but he believes. God the Holy Spirit's not going to believe for you. You yourself must believe, and you yourself must repent. He said, "Repent. Repent and be converted, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, repentance, what is repentance? Well, it's so simple.
It's a change of mind. A change of mind. A change of mind regarding what you thought about God. You see that everything you thought was wrong. It's a change of mind concerning what you think about yourself. You see now that you're nothing but sin. It's a change of mind concerning Christ, who He is and what He did and what He accomplished. It's a change. But somebody said, oh, what a change. It's a change of mind that comes from a change of masters. And it results in a change of motives and a change of manners. Yes, it's a change of mind. But this isn't just something intellectual. It comes from a change of masters. And it results in a change of motives and a change of manners, conduct, conversation. Now, I realize the old man never changes, but it's still true. Now, you listen to me real carefully. The old man, I realize, never changes, but it's still true that if a man is no different after his conversion than he was before his conversion, we may genuinely ask, converted from what? Converted to what? Yes, it's a change of mind, but there's a change of masters. And there's a change of motives. And there's a change of manners. Now, what a blessing conversion is. It's God converting us. And we convert, don't we? Look in Acts, there in Acts chapter 3. Look in verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. Is there any greater blessing than that? Oh, Lord, turn me. Turn me, and I'll be turned. Now, conversion, turning, is like faith in this sense. Faith is the gift of God. It's not the product of man's will. It's not in the natural man's heart. It's the gift of God. You know, Christ Himself is said to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the gift of God, and it's just as true that you must believe. God doesn't believe for you. God the Holy Spirit doesn't believe for you. You yourself must believe. Do you remember what the Philippian jailer said? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I've heard people say, well, he was coming on legal grounds. That was, he didn't understand the gospel. There isn't anything you can do to be saved. But that's not the way Paul dealt with him, is it? Paul didn't say you shouldn't be asking a question like that. He gave him the answer when he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not the product of man's free will. And you must believe. Now listen to me. Everybody in this room, God commands you to believe. And your right comes with His command. Now, conversion is the same thing. Being turned, it's the gift of God. It's Him turning you. And if you have any understanding of yourself, you know that you won't turn unless He turns you. Now, if you think you can turn yourself, you haven't been taught of God. You haven't learned a thing. But if God has taught you, you know enough about yourself to know that you will not turn unless He turns you. And that's why you cry out, Lord, turn me. Turn me, and I'll be turned. Turning is the work of God, And I myself must turn. I don't say, well, if it's a work of God, I'll just wait and see. You know, when God turns me, then I'll turn. No, I'm called upon to turn. Believe and turn to the Lord. Repent and turn to the Lord. Those are the wheels of turning.
Now, this is kind of a side note. When we're talking about Job,
in Job, I think it's in Job chapter 42, there's a scripture, I can't remember exactly which verse it is, but I was thinking about this, because I was thinking about this thing of turning. What I did, I looked up all the scriptures where turning and conversion is used. And it says this about Job. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Well, does that mean you won't be turned unless you pray for your friends? I know I'm going to get this out. I want to pray for my friends. I want to pray. No, my praying doesn't turn anything. But Scripture still says, the Lord turned. The Lord, don't you want the Lord to turn you? The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Lord, turn to me. Lord, turn me. It's a good prayer, isn't it? May God give us that prayer. And may God turn to us. And may God, in His mercy, enable us to turn in repentance and in faith. Let's pray.